A Thought for Your Pennies is hosted by Shauna and Squeaky and explores ways to save money and tips to avoid scams, all while they share their own stories along the way. Get in touch by calling 970-425-3060 or emailing penniespod@gmail.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to A Thought for Your Pennies, the show where we learn how to save money together. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hey, I'm Squeaky, and I will eat a Tide Pod before I'll eat a spicy pillow.
Wow. All right, Squeaky. I'm glad you have your order of operations there of things that you'll eat that you probably shouldn't.
I think I could eat a Tide Pod without catching fire, right? There'd probably be some problems later, but none of them would be fire.
Okay. Well, this episode is all about phones. I'm not sure how any of that is related to the phone episode, but Squeaky, what was your first phone?
When smartphones started happening, I got in early-ish before Android was really a thing, and I managed to get a Palm Pre.
Okay.
I learned how to write apps on that. We didn't call them apps at the time. They were just actual software, right? They were applications. I don't know. That
back in the 1900s, we didn't shorten things with any sort of nickname. We called it applications.
No, but that brings us back to the spicy pillows. I had put my Palm Pre in my left pocket, and I was driving a Smart 4.2 at the time, one of those really tiny cars, 4.2.
Right.
And I slammed the door, and it hit my leg, and I didn't think anything of it because I pulled it hard. I knew what I was getting into. My phone didn't like being trapped between the two, though. So I had shattered the screen, and I figured out where to buy secondhand parts. And part of fixing phones, even back then, was you often damage the battery pulling it out. And the batteries, and the batteries are usually these little foil bags with the rolled over stuff, the anodes and cathodes that make them work. So anytime you're doing a phone repair, make sure you just order a battery if it's sealed. But they puff up, and if you're not careful with them, they'll catch fire. So they look like pillows, they catch fire, they're spicy pillows.
And you did that twice?
I have replaced many phone batteries that were glued in and attached. Actually, this phone right here, this is my current Android phone. It's a OneTouch 9 Pro, and I've replaced the screen on it, the battery on it, and I'm going to have to do some sort of interesting fix coming up in the future, because the back, I'm sure you can see, I'm sure all of our listeners love
this. What's going
this.
On with the back there?
It's supposed to be smooth one color, but it's made of glass and shattered.
Oh,
so what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to hit it with a vacuum chamber and pull UV resin into it and see if I can't fix it.
Okay. All right.
I hope that saves a little bit of money, but that's also on one extreme end of the time money spectrum.
Right. Lots of time. Yeah.
Yeah. I happen to have UV resin on hand. I happen to have UV lights on hand. I happen to have everything necessary to make a vacuum chamber. I happen to have all these skills, and that's a little bit crazy. Most people... I'd recommend getting a new phone or deciding
getting it repaired. Yeah.
Go to a repair shop. Or if you're that handy, consider doing the repair the normal way. Order the part, repair it. Things like iFixit can walk you through it, but that's four steps on that spectrum. Sorry, I'm bogarting you again. You told me not to do this meeting.
The back of my cell phone is also shattered. And you know how I deal with that?
You ignore it.
I have a case over it and that's it. And even when the back is shattered, I still will take it swimming because the waterproof cases are so good that nothing happens to it. So
nice.
I broke the back of it and I swam with the manatees with my waterproof case and still got excellent photos of these manatees that came up to us. So my first phone was the legendary Nokia brick phone. That's right. And I memorized the T9 keyboard so that I could text from my pocket. And then I remember the games that came with those phones, which was Snake.
Classic.
Oh,
classic.
That was it. Yeah. And my mother did not want to replace her first cell phone because she was like, what am I going to do without Snake?
What am I going to do? My first cell phone didn't have Snake.
Oh, no.
It didn't have a screen. It had, like I don't want to say LEDs, but, like, yeah. You know the little 7-segment display on your microwave for each character? right? Yeah, my cell phone had that, but it had like 11 characters for that, so I could see cell phone numbers and edit them. And like texts were like, I think this was pre-SMS.
Yeah, that was my first phone. Oh, so that's a new dimension to parenting. Like if I said something to my parents that I was like, you're wrong. They're like, all right, you want to go to the library and prove it to me in the book that you're wrong? But now when I'm talking to my kids, they're like, look it up. And they, you know, they ask you all those questions. Why? And I'm like, okay, my generation, the millennials, we invented Google so that you could go and find this, so that you didn't have to go to the library and figure out why. Another thing about the phones is that you can use them to track your kids, because kids will have their phones on them all the time. But it's kind of come to bite me because my daughter keeps on misplacing her phone somewhere in the house. So anytime before she's about to leave somewhere, she comes up to me. She goes, hey, mom, can you do find my iPhone? Hey, mom, can you do find my iPhone? Hey, mom, can you do find my iPhone? Like sometimes 3 times in one day. Hey, mom, can you do find my iPhone? And I'm like, yes, I'll do find your iPhone. Jeez.
I get that. It's like every time I just type into a Google search, I don't even hit enter because I know the NSA is listening. Just, yeah. I would have had
they're taking phones away from kids in school these days, too. A lot of school districts are turning into where when you come to school, put them in a bag. And reports are coming out that this is good for the kids because they actually pay attention in class. They're not texting each other. They're not making TikToks or other social media stuff. There's less bullying. Phones getting taken away from kids. And I have some more thoughts on that, too.
Yeah, on that, like, I like the results, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want the kids to be distracted. But at the same point, if I were a parent and I gave my kid a means to contact me anytime, I'd want it there for the outside chance that the worst happened, right?
Well,
but other
times I think kids shouldn't have phones is I don't let my kids take their phones into their rooms.
Interesting.
Like, because I kind of have, like, if you're going to be on electronics, it has to be out in the family area. And not that I'm, like, looking over their shoulder and seeing what they're texting. But I just think it's important to kind of, I don't know, have that hovering about it. And so when they go to bed, they turn in their phones to me at night.
I am not a parent. I wouldn't do that. I'd have some other approach. But I have also Kindles. I do a ton of reading. I am curious because on the Kindles, I have free Wikipedia access over the cell phone system. I don't pay for that. I paid once for the Kindle. So somehow that kind of limited internet access is cheap and easy enough. I wonder if you could limit your kid's cell phone so you restricted more and more of the cool parts of the internet as their grades got better or worse. It's like, oh, you didn't get A's. You don't get TikTok.
I think that's a level of sophistication I don't do with the kids. I'm just like, do you have good grades? Yes, no. Okay, so, you can have full rights to your phone.
But I want my kid who has an F to have access to Wikipedia and Khan Academy.
Hmm.
If my kid is getting F's, he needs Khan Academy.
They don't need it on their phone. So you could have access to Wikipedia and Khan Academy on their computer while they're out in the family room. They can go on and do there, and I can walk by and see what they're doing, but they don't need it on their phone.
Hang on, your 1900s is showing.
I mean,
were the computer in the family room?
Yeah. I mean, that's what we do. We don't let them take screens into their bedrooms. Oh, no. Their laptops are out here. They're, I don't know, what do you call it? The living room? The family room? Yeah.
No, that part's fine. The concept of a family room or living room is fine. It's soda versus pop, whatever. The notion of the family computer is what I'm mocking. Just openly mocking it.
Right? That is a throwback to the 1900s when my brother and I would fight over the family computer. So who could play Reader Rabbit?
And when your kids are on Khan Academy, do you have to not pick up your rotary phone or you might disconnect them? What are we talking about? My teacher friend, right? He has an iPad for each of his kids.
Yeah.
The schools issued them laptops. One of them has a Chromebook. One of them has some sort of Lenovo thing.
Yeah, my kids' schools do that too.
Yeah. So the notion of you're not going to have screens in your rooms, that's... Oh, okay. I as a parent, I admire the spot you're in, where you know that this technology is disruptive, and I see that you're doing a good thing, you're being involved. I admire your involvement. But you're being binary and discrete, where this is clearly a fuzzy gradient. Screens are here to stay. We have to figure out how to live with them responsibly.
Well, I feel like back in the 1900s, we had screens. They were called televisions. And I grew up in a house where, no, you can't have a television in your room. That's out in the family area.
And for how little a TV can do, that level of unsophistication is probably fine.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe you don't want your kid watching violence. Maybe you just don't want your kid watching that instead of reading or doing their homework. It solves all those problems, and you throw away very few of the benefits. But the benefits of screens wherever you are immense. And parents doing the no screens in your room thing aren't preparing kids for the real world where there's going to be screens in every room. I mean, think about when we went to school back in the 1900s and teachers told us, there's not going to be a calculator in your pocket. You're going to need this cursive nonsense. Yeah. Now, we have to try to look forward and see what's happening.
I mean, I feel like I could be worried that they have never really had screens in their bedrooms and unlimited access. And so when they leave and they're on their own and they can do that for the first time, that they'll just like binge and go crazy because never let them do it.
Because they will. It's human nature.
I feel like that the way I've got it set up, what I'm hoping is that it is a habit. Like they just know, hey, it's bedtime.
I think your notion of building healthy habits is super important going into that world. So what does that mean for parents who are going to be delivering their kids into a different technological era than they grew up in?
So when my grandkids have the chip implanted into their brain, I'm going to be like, well, listen, you need to turn that off at least an hour before bedtime and disconnect from the... Right? Like, the same principle will prove through the generation, Squeaky. Don't worry.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's our funny stories relating to phones. If you have phone funny stories, we'd love to hear them. So you can send them in to penniespod@gmail.com or give us a call at 970-425-3060 and leave us a short message and we'll share it on air. Hey there, penny thinkers. Welcome back to A Thought for Your Pennies, a show where we learn how to save money together. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hey, I'm Squeaky, and I think building a cell phone is as easy as building Legos.
Oh, okay. That's a good way to think about this. Does it save you money to build your cell phone?
If I'm rebuilding it instead of buying a new one, but I don't use as much glue on my Legos.
Okay. Yeah, it seems like you need to have some tools that might cost some money to build your cell phone, right?
So when I say build, I just mean swapping parts out.
Oh, okay.
If you go up to like iFixit, right, you can buy parts from them, but the toolkits aren't that bad. Often you'll need like a heat gun, but sometimes you can get away with a hairdryer and a microwave. Don't microwave the phone. You microwave a thing that you put on the phone and it heats it. And
you have a ship-a-thesis thing going on with your phone? Or you're replacing all the parts? Is it the same phone?
I can build an entire phone out of broken parts. So, yes.
Wow.
Now, it won't work. But.
Well, listen, when we're talking about savings, and we're not I don't have any suggestions on how to build your phone. Maybe you want to email us to get Squeaky's how-to guide on that. Most of the time, savings are subtle and incremental. They're not the result of a single dramatic breakthrough.
Yeah.
And this is nowhere truer than in the cell phone category, where you can make a change here and there to add up to significant savings, but you have to be on top of it. So the most efficient way to organize the savings is segregating the savings that take place because you're saving on the phone device itself and the savings that take place because of things related to the phone but is not the device itself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so you're talking find a way to buy a cheaper phone and find a way to get the accessories and the service for cheap.
Yeah. So according to Ramsey Solutions, one of the best ways to save money on your phone is to use Wi-Fi whenever possible.
I don't know if that matters nowadays, but back in the day, yeah, a lot of, and, you know, it depends where you are.
Right.
Where I'm at, I don't get charged for my G access or my 4G access. Just, I can access as much internet as I want. They just slow it down after like 100 gigs or something. But
yeah, that's the kind of plan I'm on too, where it's unlimited. And I don't get dinged for going over data. So, but if you have a data limited plan, that's where Wi-Fi matters a lot, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't want to stream Netflix over 5G if I was being billed like $1 per gigabyte. Seems like a bad move.
Yeah. Another thing that wastes data is having apps that are running in the background. And I think having apps running in the background also slows my phone down. Like, I don't have any data to back that up, but I just think that I try to be very minimalist about this is the app I'm using, and then I turn it off when I'm done.
Can I raise some details that instead of arguing with you, confirm what you're saying for once?
Sure. Yeah, that's nice.
So phones are tiny computers, right? They have RAM. Apps that are running in the background consume some of that RAM, and they swap out to a page file or a swap file, right? It's a little bit of the hard disk or permanent storage. So if you try to go back to that app, it has to copy it from the storage back to RAM. So if you switch between a bunch of apps rapidly that are bigger than the amount of RAM in your phone, or do the same thing on your PC, whether it be a Mac or a Linux or a Windows PC, they all do this so they don't, because the alternative is they crash and close the app.
Okay.
So they go slower when you exceed the amount of RAM. And you could make them faster by, in principle, getting more RAM, but that costs money.
Right.
And you can't add RAM to a phone. That's, well, okay, I can add RAM to a phone. We shouldn't expect our listeners
to. But the average person listening to this probably can't add RAM to their phone. So
it
makes sense.
Skill.
If you buy a cheaper phone, it doesn't have as much RAM. So just using an app and turning it all the way off and making sure it's not running in the background is a way to get a cheaper phone, because you're not trying to run 20, 30, 40 apps at a time.
Yeah. And the big apps do try to be efficient, right? Like TikTok cares about how much RAM they use on your phone. So even though they're recording video, they're going to do it as efficiently as they can. Just don't leave things like that running in the background. Yeah.
Yep.
And you can get away with a cheaper phone. In principle.
Here's another way to save money if you're worried about a certain aspect of your plan. If you're worried about roaming charges, use airplane mode more often than not.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This keeps the device from trying to connect to cell towers, and you'll get random roaming charges. This is from Nimbus Blue. So use airplane mode as often as possible.
Yeah. And I know a lot of those rural carriers still hit you with that. Like, there are cell phone carriers from middle of nowhere, Nebraska, that if you go in like a bad place, like if you take it to Wyoming, they'll hit you with that. But me and the group, when we visited you out in Denver, three of us had Mint Mobile and one of us had AT&T, and none of us even had roaming on our plans. But maybe we're just freewheeling and buying the most expensive plan.
Right. I mean, yeah. This is like a la carte. You get a cheap plan as long as you don't roam. You get a cheap plan as long as you're not using data.
Yeah, and this is the time-money trade-off, right? How much money can you save on your phone? I'm spending like $80 a month on my phone. I think I'm doing okay, but that, for some people, $80 is a lot of money. So if you can find one of those budget carriers, right, and you can really get like a $20 a month plan by deciding you're not going to roam, do it. If your time... See, for me, the time is worth it. Or saving the time is worth it, because I make enough money that $80 a month isn't going to break me. So spending 2-3 hours figuring that out just isn't worth my time. I can go bill another couple hours on my contracts.
Well, I think it's a good time for cell phone plans right now, because there's a lot of budget carriers that are coming out. And I like to switch carriers to kind of have them undercut each other. And cable companies are getting into it, too. So I had... Verizon Wireless.
Okay.
And then I switched to Xfinity Mobile. So when I was on Verizon, I think it was like $80 a month. Then I switched to Xfinity Mobile, which brought it down to $50 a month. And now I'm on another budget plan carrier that operates on Verizon's network that I can't remember the name of, but I only pay $25 a month now for unlimited everything.
Okay.
And Verizon is the only one around here in the mountains that you can get any kind of reliable cell signal with. So it has to be a Verizon plan.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. That's interesting.
Oh, That's what it's called. They're called Visible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this like credit card churning, but you're like churning your cell phone service? Like you keep... You keep getting the sign-up bonus, but they remember you for 2 years, so you get a different sign-up bonus, and you just go through...
I mean, this isn't like every 3 months I'm like, oh. I mean, it was like, I had Verizon back in 2016, and then around 2018, I switched to Xfinity. And then I had Xfinity up until 2022, I'll say, and then that's when I got Visible. So I'll have these plans for 4 or 5 years, but I'll see if there's like another plan that is cheaper and says it's unlimited. I'll jump.
We kind of sound like broken records. The way we talk about financial advice, shop around is what you just said. And
but that, I think there's some places where you can shop around and there's some places you can't, right? Like cell phones right now, with the plans that are coming out there and these budget carriers, you can shop around. I think back when I had Verizon, you couldn't really shop around. There was three major cell phone companies. And if you got a budget plan like Cricket, then you would get nickel and dimed on, you know, roaming or something like that. The next thing to do is, I don't know, do you insure your phone?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
It's a scam 100% of the time. And sorry if I'm disagreeing with the writer now, but I
No, no, no. The advice is cut insurance. Do not insure your phone.
Yeah. Insurance in principle is about managing risk. And risk is harder to assess the smaller the thing you're insuring. It is cheaper to insure 1,000 people for healthcare than it is to insure the same number of people with 1,000 different plans. Because the smaller groups just don't know. You just can't look at one person and say, we know this is going to happen. So any one cell phone, you don't know what's going to happen to it.
The only time I've ever heard of cell phone insurance is like when you are buying a plan and they'll offer it if you're buying the phone. And there was a huge thing a few years back about how buying devices and building that into the price of the plan cost, you know, was illegal, that they shouldn't do it that way. I don't know. I should have researched this before I inarticulately bring it up. But now they can't do that. Yeah.
Bundling phones with the service. Right. Because they would promise you a $0 phone, but you had to sign up for the $200 a month contract for the first year or whatever, so it wound up being a $2,000 phone or something.
Yeah, can't do that. They can't do that anymore. Or can they? Can they still do that?
Good.
I thought there was something about... Well, anyway, that's expensive. Don't do that. Now I go and get the device refurbished, and then I just buy the device outright refurbished, and then I go get my plan, so then I'm free and clear. So I paid... like $800 for my phone.
All
and now
the
I'm
phone
paying 25 a month visible. Yeah.
Sorry, we're a little desynced. But yeah, all hail the phone of Squeakius. If you have the skills, fixing your phone is very inexpensive. That said, I bought a really nice high-end phone cash. I think it was like a $1,200 phone at the time, because it was like the day after it came out. And I'm like, I want 16 gigs of RAM on my phone for no reason in particular. So maybe that wasn't a good idea.
But I kind of look at my phone as a big term investment, like my computer. It's something I'm going to need to upgrade or get a new one every 2 to 3 years with how the technology gets updated and take care of it for years. But it's cheaper to buy it outright at that $800, $1,200 level. Yeah.
Yeah. When you're doing something professional near it, because sometimes I'll be contracted to test things on phones, or I will be I'll need them for professional reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much easier to justify a professional expense. And if that works,
well, dovetail kind of into the next thing I was going to talk about, which is to check to see if your employer offers an employee discount or some other way to compensate for the device at work. So if it's related to your job, I use my phone related to my job because I'm in media, so I have to record short form content, and I have to have a pretty nice phone to be able to do that.
Oh, yeah. I'm just talking straight expense. You're talking if you have a good employer. I haven't had one of those in years.
Well, and another thing you should do is you should buy a phone that is unlocked.
Absolutely.
Because that way you can jump around to carriers like I'm doing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, my goodness. No, I half expected you to say, buy a locked phone because it's $5 cheaper. No.
No.
Can save...
Unlocked.
Yeah, see, it'll sometimes cost a couple dollars more, but the first time you switch carriers, you'll get that money back the first month.
Yep. So, and then there's another recommendation from Consumer Reports is to do what you're doing, which is update operating system, replace the battery, replace the screen, and increase storage. Do a Theseus ship on your phone instead of going out and getting a whole brand new one.
Yeah. Again, I got to bring up the time money dichotomy. I enjoy doing it, so I wouldn't recommend doing that for a lot of people. And it's the range. Buy a new phone when it's replaced, or have the junkiest, most broken phone ever. Fix it yourself is next to that. Have your friend fix it. Pay to get it repaired. Right?
Yeah.
The spectrum, right?
I was going to say, the only time I remember phone insurance, besides when I signed up for a plan and they asked for it, is my mom wanted to get the kids' phones before they were really... ready for them, wanted to get them iPhones so that she could call them. And I was like,
ready.
Mom, that, because I was thinking middle school age, they could get a phone because that's when they would start hanging out with their friends and I would want to know where they are. But my mom was like, I want to be able to talk to my grandchildren whenever I want. They need a phone. And I was like, okay, you buy these phones, you pay for the plans. That's totally fine. And she was like, that's right. I'm going to spoil these grandkids. So she bought them phones. And she bought them insurance that not only was damaged, but was replacement for loss.
That's expensive.
She used it. We used it because the kids definitely. I bought these stuffed animals that you could put the phone into, hoping that that would help from losing it because it was like this, you know.
You have to lose the giant pastel bear or whatever, right?
It wasn't a bear. It was like an octopus with a bunch of legs that had, for the face, you slid the phone into a pocket and you could touch through it. And the kids hated those things. They never kept their phones in these huge stuffed animal cases. Like, 8 years old, that is not cool to have a phone like that, I guess. So, yeah.
Yeah. There's this range, right? You can have that kind of stuff when you're four or when you're 400. Right? At some point, you give up on the concept of shame and you can just have whatever you want again. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm doing the horseshoe. I'm going back to, I don't care if this is ugly. It makes me happy. Another tip I have is that this is according to Ramsey Solutions again, if there's a carrier or vendor who makes a high profile introduction, so when the latest thing comes out or the best deal, go and try to get the older model.
Oh, yeah.
Because
they're
going to have a ton of that and they want to get rid of it. So they'll be able to cut you a deal.
Yeah. When I bought my T, the 8 was cheap. When the T Plus came out, the T was cheap. No, you're exactly right.
Right. So another way that you can save on your phone is to make sure that you are paying for a plan for what you're using. For me, I am always worried that I am going to accidentally get roaming or data or something like that. And I like having the ability to just get on my phone whenever I want without thinking about, oh, what's my data this month or anything like that. So I do look for that unlimited. Visible has that $25 a month, so I'm allowed to be unlimited. I'm sure they throttle it, but at least I don't get charged any extra fees if I accidentally go over the data.
And like,
but
that would be,
you know exactly how much you use it. Like my grandmother, for example, went to Walmart and got a phone where she bought the minutes because she was like, I know I'm only going to use this thing if I'm stuck on the side of the road and I need to call somebody, but I will never use it otherwise.
On the flip side, there are people who would definitely not want to be limited. There's people who enjoy gaming or who might even try to make money streaming games or doing things like that. You can play Fortnite from your phone, and there are some people who try to do that either competitively or stream. And if you're making money doing that, you need to not be throttled. So it makes sense for them to buy a plan that doesn't have throttling, even if it costs a different amount. And it might be more expensive or cheaper, depending on the details.
Yeah. Yeah. And another thing about savings and plans is, you know, there's so many other carriers, like I mentioned Visible. Consumer Cellular is another one that's advertising a lot right now. They offer deals and feature the things that the big three don't and kind of undercut each other because they can use the big three's networks.
I feel like if I just rattled off four different words, you wouldn't be able to tell me which ones were and weren't a carrier. Right? So Lion, Orange, Cricket, Mint. Which one's not a carrier?
Lion.
Okay. This time. You got me this time. But it was plausible.
That's because I know. I'm always shopping around the phone plans, right? I've looked at Mint. I know Cricket. Orange is European, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so. Vodafone doesn't even sound real, does it?
No, it doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't hurt when you move to ask the carrier to waive upgrade or activation fees. This is a competitive business, and they might be like, hey, yeah, we want your business. So you could try that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it never hurts to ask. Now, nowadays, sometimes it's hard to get someone on the phone to ask, but that's a different matter.
Right. Yeah.
Again, the time-money dichotomy. If it takes you 4 hours to get a hold of them, and if you work hourly, you gotta...
Yeah. And the last tip I have is bundling with friends and family.
Ooh.
One time, the bundling was so good, I had 8 people on our plan. Where it was like, my brother, my mother, my husband, my kids, and two of my friends. We were all on this plan together because the more people we had, the cheaper it was. And that isn't the way it is today. Now it's just the four of us with me, my husband, and the kids. But
No, it makes sense. It makes sense. I've known a ton of people who are like, oh, I would get a new phone, but I'm paying $10 a month because I'm on my family plan or something.
Right.
You can save so much money with family plans.
Well, listen, the key to phone savings, getting back to phone savings, the key to phone savings is strong consumer protections, right? Because when you have strong consumer protections, you can negotiate your bill, you can negotiate against charges, you have more competition. You can negotiate against things when they try to bundle the price of the phone into the plan and all of those things. So paying attention to consumer protections is one of the key things to save on phones, too. On that note, that's what we've got for our phone savings episode. If you have more ideas on how to save on your phone or you want Squeaky's thesis ship phone model, email us at penniespod@gmail.com or call us at 970-425-3060. Leave us a short message and we'll share it on air so that we can learn how to save money together.
Sorry I didn't end it on a joke. That was poor form of me.
It's okay. Hey everybody, welcome back to A Thought for Your Pennies, the show where we learn how to save money together. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hey, I'm Squeaky, and I'm ready to be mad at some scammers again.
That's right. It's time for the scams, and we're getting into really good scams, phone scams. Do you feel like there's not enough scams on your phone these days? I feel like I don't get enough phone calls from telemarketers asking me to refinance my mortgage, that I missed a stimulus payment back from the pandemic, that there are jobs that I could work totally remotely, get paid $400 a day. I miss if I don't get 5 to 6 of these a day.
The concept of paying in gift cards for app stores, the fake apps that try to take your money, the apps that promise you a thing, but you have to pay them extra, and then you get a crap version of the thing. The AI assistants that are no such thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going into the software, because you covered just the concept of people calling you and lying you. So many scams.
Yeah.
So many bad apps. So
That's the bad news. There are legions of people, both in the States and abroad, that are trying to use the cell phone infrastructure to cheat people. The good news, it's pretty easy to spot, and a reasonable amount of caution will go a long way towards reducing the risks.
Yeah, that said, we don't want to judge people who do get scammed, because if you're exposed to 100 scams a day,
mm-hmm.
and you're 99% good at spotting them, that leaves you getting scammed once a day. Okay, it's not that bad. I don't see 100 scams a day, but I might see 5 right. a day.
Well, and they're getting more sophisticated because it used to be really easy for me to spot. But then there was the phone scams that came out that just said, hey, Vicky, missed you last night. Hope that you got home okay. And you were like, okay, I guess I'm just going to send back this person and be like, oh, wrong number. And then it turns out a lot of them are these version of romance scams where they're hoping they'll talk to a guy and be like, oh, I'm so sorry. You seem really nice. Why don't we start chatting? So that was a sophisticated change. And then the ones that make me think twice now are the ones that are related to bills. Like I have a California phone number related for work.
Okay.
That comes through on my phone. And I started getting texts on there saying that I had not paid the California tollway when I drove through there. And I was like, oh, the last time I was on a work trip in California, did I drive? Did I drive through this thing? Did I rent the car? Wasn't the car rental company supposed to take care of this?
And that's the thing with scams.
Come to find out. Yeah, it's totally a scam. It's not about anything. Yeah.
They don't need to actually be correct. They just need to plant a seed of doubt that creates the sense of urgency.
Yeah.
And that's why some of them can work. They just need to seem plausible enough to some of the victims. And they just cast a wide enough...
Yeah. And what they want is your personal information. They want you to download some malware or send some money. I gave some examples of ones I've personally experienced, but I'm about to read a lot of different scams. You ready for this?
I never am, but we're doing it anyway.
Okay. So they text you about a purchase that you didn't make. Your package is late. I've gotten that one.
The emails for it, too. I've gotten pictures where it's like, is this your package? And it'll have my shipping number somehow, but it won't be my package. It'll just be someone else's porch.
Yeah. Yep. Impersonator scams. Debt relief and credit repair scams. Business investment scams. I think crypto can go in this one.
People who are already poor is so despicable. Why?
Yep.
Okay.
Because they're desperate. They know you're desperate. They're going to try to offer you an easy way out. Charity scams, extended car warranties. Now, this, not only do we get phone scams, but I actually got a letter saying that my warranty on my car was expired and I needed to contact them right away. And I couldn't find the name of the business that said they were providing the warranty. Because at first, when I first read the letter, I was like, oh, my car warranty is expiring. I'd better, you know, call this number and get that extended for however many miles. But then I was like, wait a second. When I bought my car and I got the warranty, they told me the company that was covering the warranty. There's no company here. Completely blank. No return address, just a phone number to call to extend my warranty. And I was like, okay, so this is a scam. Like, they're getting more and more clever.
And on cars, I really don't like the concept of extended warranties anyway. For some people with very expensive cars, maybe it makes sense because you need some vehicle like that, but most of the time you can get away with not a $100,000 vehicle. Who actually needs that, right? Probably truckers and not many other people. And I don't know if you heard, but a few years back, one of these car warranty places actually went under because they got sued like out of existence because they weren't providing any warranty service.
They were just
taking money and then not providing service. And they got sued out of existence, but they were responsible for a huge amount of these calls and a huge amount of these things, but they weren't the only ones. Because there are ones that are more legit and they're just making junk up. It's so... Sorry.
Okay. Are we ready to hear more scams? Free trials, loan scams, prize and lottery scams, travel and timeshare scams, AI scams, romance scams.
Hang on. AI scams. I know there's a ton, but what do we mean here?
That's a good question. When I think of AI scams, I think that you think that you're talking to a person, but it's really an AI bot.
I mean, it could be like that. There are a lot of AI services you can pay for, like Grammarly. You install a little plugin into your editor and you pay them like so many bucks a month and they give you AI, you know, suggestions for how you reword this or reword that. And there's things like that, or like GitHub Copilot is this programmer tool you can pay like $45 a month for, but it will try to write code with you in your own editor or in your normal professional tools. I could imagine somebody taking one of those services and like repackaging it and selling it to you for $100 a month. And if you're a professional and you haven't heard of the other one, that's pretty scammy and they're just being a middleman pushing stuff. Alternatively, they could just take your money claiming it's AI. I've seen more than a few companies try to get started where they say, hey, we're making some really cool AI, and they get investors to give the money, and then they just disappear. But that's not something most of our listeners are going to be there for.
Well, there's also crypto investment scams. I think we've heard a lot about that. I think we could do a whole segment about crypto.
Sorry. Yeah, there's so many crypto scams. And never buy Huck to it.
There's also links to malicious apps. There's compromised QR codes and other technical hacks. A lot of scams around online purchases. There's refund phishing where they say, oh, the government owes you a refund.
Just
employment scams, check fraud scams, fake jobs, and bank alerts.
Okay.
All right. So here's how to avoid scams. You can use reverse number search to see if the phone number is legit. Don't trust your caller ID because that can be spoofed.
Yeah.
Don't respond to random texts. Yeah.
The internal protocol for when you make a phone call, the number it's coming from comes from the phone making the call. So lying is trivial because I can make a piece of software that makes a phone call that just puts garbage data in there. You would think if you're a phone company, the call would go to the phone company's systems. attach the phone number it came from, then send it down, because that's how you build a reasonable system. But all these things were built in the 70s by very trusting people, and today we'd call them more. Sorry. Common sense has changed.
Yeah.
Now we know better.
Well, keep your devices updated.
Oh,
join the do not solicit list. Use a spam blocking app for texts and calls. So I did have a ad blocker that did spam calls as well for a few years. But then my phone finally updated with its own spam recognition technology. So
nice.
I stopped using the app. But
you're on an iPhone, right?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, for a while, iPhones were terrible. Like, you couldn't even report that a phone number was spam. So that's when I was paying for, like, I paid $15 a year for a ad blocking and spam blocking app.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have anything that blocks spam texts or calls, but I'm constantly using an ad blocker for my browser, and it blocks even, like YouTube ads and stuff. So I don't see ads, and so many scams come through ads.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, there's never actually local girls in my area interested in me. No.
Oh, poor Squeaky. You can use you can independently verify caller identity before agreeing on anything, I guess, if you want to talk to somebody. What I like to do, if I feel like it's a legit company that's calling me, like the California toll example when they were texting me, first thing I didn't click on anything that was in the spam text message.
Oh, yeah, never
did. I just went online and I Googled, like, hey, you know, California fine system, how does this work? And the first response I got was like, there are these spam texts going around saying the toll and it is not real. And I was like, oh, okay, great. Great. It was spam. I thought it was, but so that's what we mean by independent verification. If, you know, you're all of a sudden out of the blue, your cable company texts you, UPS texts you, somebody texts you and is like, you owe a bill. Go and find out independently out of that text the company's phone number and call them directly. Do not respond to the text.
Beyond just independent, we can get known good sources. If it's UPS, you can go specifically to UPS.com and skip Google, right? And if you call UPS's phone number at UPS.com, you're probably getting the real UPS.
And there are a couple places where I do pay bills by text or I get notifications about bills by text, but I set it up when I signed up with them. So this is my dentist's office and my primary care. When I was signing in with them, they said, may we text you about your account? That was separate than may we text you about your appointments? And I said yes to both because it's convenient for me to be able to just text back my dentist's office after they've run the insurance and said, okay, you owe $34 on this. Great, thanks, I'll pay it. But I opted into it. So if it's legit, you probably opted into it to begin with. They just won't randomly start texting you.
So what do we do the day your dentist starts actually accepting iTunes gift cards?
He's Android.
Someday, your dentist will say, give me a $50 Google Play gift card for this crown. And if he texts you that information, how are you going to tell the difference between that and a scam?
I'm not going to pay anybody in gift cards. I'll find a different dentist. We're not doing gift cards.
What if your dentist starts requesting payment in Hoctua coin?
No. Different dentist.
That's life advice right there. If your dentist wants payment in Hoctua coin, switch dentists.
Yeah. Another thing that you can do to help protect your family is if you have people that in your family who aren't quite as up with technology and you're especially worried about AI, establish a password that if I call you for money, I will use the password Penny Thinkers. I don't know.
We would establish
it's me and not AI.
Yeah, because the AI might. It is easy to spoof text messages for the same reasons it's easy to spoof phone numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people texting each other that get these big data leaks. Oh, and we might have to pause and should Google this. There's a thing I'm signed up for Have I Been Pwned? It's haveibeenpwned.com.
Oh, yeah.
Have I Pwned. And it's a mailing list. They email you when your information, you tell them which ones you want to put in there. So you can put in your phone number, you can put in your email, and then maybe a few others. And I have those in there. And whenever one of those big data breaches happens, like the big Equifax breach 5 or 10 years ago. When that happened and all of Equifax's credit information just wound up on the public internet, have I been pwned emailed me and they're like, hey, Squeaky, this is in all these leaks. You should go change your passwords, or you should, you know, whatever it was. Because the data came from these company servers and some hacker pulled it out and they can then start connecting the relationships. They can be like, oh, well, all of these people with the same last name are in the same house. I'm going to email, you know, I'm going to email Squeaky's roommates and be like, hey, Squeaky is trying to get a hold of you. And that's super plausible. And the password defeats that. It is a little, it feels paranoid, but it does defeat that specifically.
Well, I do like, I have a password manager, 1Password, and it'll tell me if my passwords have been leaked.
Nice.
Like if the password I'm using has been in a dark web leak. So,
any service you have for that that's legit, now you go through the normal trusting and vetting processes for verifying those.
Right.
But anything you can, anytime you can store your password somewhere else or get notified when your stuff is leaked, probably good. Probably good.
Yeah. So, more things on avoiding the scams. We're almost through it. Report and block spam numbers. That does matter. It helps the your spam blocker kind of learn together and can warn other people. So do report and block spam numbers. That does help. Take care to verify and validate online competitions and sweepstakes. Use multi-factor authentication for any financial activity. So that is when you're logging in with your email address, you want it to text you. You want it to also email you at the same time. Be careful about what you post online. And this is a couple different reasons. One, what you post can be used to compromise your security if you forgot what you post. So sensitive information like where you used to live. I know when I have signed up for things that have needed to vet who I actually am, it has asked me, have you ever lived here? Have you ever lived there? Have you ever lived here?
And what those things
have
are
you
doing
ever
is,
owned this car? Yeah.
What those things are doing is they're pulling it from your credit report. And I hate that because it gets things wrong enough for me. Like it's asked me, have you ever had this car? And I never did. And it was asking me about my brother's car. I hate those systems because they're just bad.
So another way to avoid scams is know that the government will never ask you for sensitive information. They'll never call and text you and be like, verify your social security number with us. If you call them, that's a different story, but they're not going to call you.
I hope that keeps being true.
Right. Yeah. Government's a little bit, lots of things are changing these days.
It's a little harder to trust. Yeah.
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 And then check Charity Navigator or Charity Watch before you donate.
All right. So this is for like those fireman scams that were happening a while back where they would call up, say they were for some firemen, but they just pocketed it.
Oh, I didn't know it was a real thing. Yeah.
Oh, well, I presume that's what these people are vetting. Because one time I went through and vetted one the hard way because they called me, I'd give them some money. Right. So I presume that most of them were legit, but at least one that I looked into wasn't.
Yeah. Well, and it's important, again, consumer protections are really important. Having a strong FCC. Back in December of 2023, the FCC enacted a rule that kept companies from using a single consumer consent as authorization to send multiple texts and emails.
All right. To make sure I understood what you said, you couldn't just say, hey, send me the thing, and then they would bombard you with all the stuff. You couldn't sign up for like, hey, give me the ice cream of the month, and then they'd share your email with tons of people and sign you up for every deal and discount they can get a penny for.
Right.
That's a good rule.
And I also think it means that, like, if I tell my dentist, yes, it's okay for you to text me about appointments, no, I don't want to be texted about my bills. Like, you have to do a single consumer consent for the thing that you agree to do. And in healthcare, they're way more advanced on this because there's so many privacy protections in healthcare versus like consumer, like, oh yeah, I sign up for this, this discount program at Target. So Target's like, okay, great. Now I can send you tons and tons of ads about everything Target. But the fate of this rule is undetermined because the new administration of the FCC says they won't fight to have the rule upheld. Well, That's it. That's all I have for the scams and ways to avoid the scams. So if you've got better ideas on how to avoid scams or why phones are so scammy today, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at penniespod@gmail.com or give us a call at 970-425-3060. Leave a short message and we will share it on air so we can save money together.
Hey, why do you always give him that phone number that we found in the bathroom that one time?
Yeah, my number's been around, Squeaky. Sorry to tell you.